Welcome in to Redacted on this Tuesday night. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We are live. We are sorry for the delay, but there was, the powers that be decided to stop our stream. We managed to get it back up right now, so we are live. We are live here on this Tuesday. We are going to be talking about, on tonight's show, Boeing. And a lot of very interesting questions about this company. What are they hiding? A whistleblower is now dead. Did he commit suicide or something else? There's something very interesting going on right now. Maybe that's why they don't want us talking about it, but we will talk about it on tonight's show. We are streaming live on YouTube, on X, on Rumble right now.
Also, a new report from U.S. intelligence shows that it may not be in our best interest to continue to support Israel because of the extremism of Benjamin Netanyahu. Also, that brings danger to U.S. soldiers. Also, we're making up a war with Iran, given that they did not know about the October 7th attacks. All of this in a bombshell new report coming out of the U.S. government. We're going to read it so that when politicians try and sell us bullshit about this war that they want, we can say, that's not what U.S. intelligence says.
Also, maybe I'm just like looking at our rundown over here, like maybe the wonder why our stream got killed a few minutes ago. Boeing,
Iran, human trafficking,
and now foster care. So the team over at Muckraker has done an unbelievable job on exposing these child traffickers, bringing children to foster homes throughout the United States. And guess who's paying for it? You are. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. When that happens, we have a great way to stay connected with you. We have a daily newsletter. Again, it's totally free. If you haven't already signed up for it, we don't sell your information. We don't do anything like that. We just provide a great newsletter Monday through Thursday. You get it over your cup of coffee first thing in the morning. And Google has labeled our newsletter as dangerous. So when you sign up for the newsletter, it might show up in your folder. And Google literally had put a banner on top of it that said dangerous. Why? Because we're anti-war? Because we want you guys to have real information. And yeah, that's the important part of it. So just go to redacted.inc, sign up for the newsletter. You will receive a welcome email from me. Then you have to confirm that and verify it. Again, it might show up. It might show up inside of your spam folder or something else. Make sure you drag it over to your inbox, and we will make sure that it's taken care of for you. And now it's all up and running right inside of your inbox. So again, redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up for our free newsletter. And we really appreciate it. So I don't know what's going on tonight. So Rumble has been dealing with like outages and under attack. So apparently Rumble wasn't live. YouTube just took our stream down a minute ago. I mean, I don't know what's going on around.
Well, we're back up on both platforms. It's hard not to read into this, but we're going to do the show.
Totally different companies, by the way.
The best that we can. And if we lose you on any of these three platforms, please come find us on another, because we got some important stuff to talk about, you guys. Let's do it. Let's not F around, because who knows how long we're going to be here.
So I just want to make sure we're good to go now on Rumble, right, Philip?
Yep, I've been pushing buttons all over the damn place, so it looks like YouTube is up, Rumble is up, so I guess we're good to go.
All right. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world here on X, on Rumble, and on YouTube. Let's get to it.
Let's do the thing.
Well, Boeing has a big problem on its hands. Why are Boeing planes falling out of the sky, doors falling off mid-flight, and former Boeing whistleblowers winding up dead in parking lots? Shot in the head. Some good questions there, right? Did someone get a little too close to telling the truth? More on that part of the story here in a second. But first, during our show last night, if you're keeping track at home like Boeing bingo cards at home, here's the latest Boeing problem and potential tragedy. 50 people injured after a Boeing 787 suddenly fell out of the sky, plummeted towards the ground. Didn't crash, but 50 people were hurt. Boeing says there was, quote, a technical event during the flight, which caused a strong movement. A technical event? Hold on. An event is something that's planned, right? Something you put on your calendar. Like my daughter had a school performance today. That was an event. It was in our calendar. We knew about it. We showed up for it. That's an event. High schools have graduation events. An event is something we know about ahead of time. Did Boeing know about it ahead of time? Did they know about these issues ahead of time?
Well, one
and
of
not
the
tell
things
us? If it's not an event, then perhaps they should call it a technical failure is what they should call it.
An
was
occurrence?
It a technical failure? I mean, we don't know, but they're calling it a technical event.
Well, one of the things that they said is, yes, it dropped very suddenly, and the people who were not wearing their seatbelts got thrown against the ceiling. And so, you know, let that be a cautionary tale to the rest of us, you know, to keep your seatbelt fastened while you're not roaming around the cabin.
Yeah, we don't know.
Okay.
But
no,
don't.
That's what they said.
Well, that is what they said, but we don't know what the actual technical movement was. We don't know the details of it. And don't expect the NTSB to be able to get any answers, by the way. The National Transportation Safety Board, which investigates airline events, supposed to be able to get answers. But of course, Boeing has not been cooperating with the NTSB and hiding information about the most recent disaster when the door ripped off the Alaskan Airlines flight. The NTSB, hey, we need names of the people that worked on these doors, build the doors. And we need them, please. You need to give all of us, we need this information so we can do our investigation. And they're not coming forward. They haven't come forward with that information. Watch.
New scrutiny on Boeing. The Justice Department is now investigating the midair door blowout captured on camera in January. Transportation correspondent Gio Benitez is here with more. Good morning, Gio.
Hey, Michael. Good morning. Yeah, multiple sources are telling ABC News the DOJ is now investigating that door plug blowout. You see that video right there. You remember, of course, when that door plug flew off a Boeing 737 MAX 9 in January, while the Alaska Airlines flight was 16,000 feet in the air, the plane made an emergency landing, and while no one was hurt, the DOJ wants to know if Boeing violated its 2021 deferred prosecution agreement. That's when the DOJ was investigating Boeing for those two MAX crashes in 2018 and 2019 that killed more than 300 people.
So the NTSB requested specific information, and Boeing had been stonewalling them up until just recently. U.S. officials say Boeing hasn't turned over records about work on the panel that blew off a jetliner. The head of the NTSB told the Senate this week that they've asked Boeing repeatedly for names and information of the people who worked on the doors of this plane, and Boeing has been hiding it. Quote, the head of the NTSB, Jennifer Homenday, said that the Senate Commerce Committee hearing that investigators sought the names of the 25 people who worked on the door plugs at the Boeing facility in Renton, Washington, and had begun a week of interviews on Sunday. Quote, it's absurd that 2 months later, we don't have it, she said.
So this is optional, then?
I guess it's optional.
You can keep doing business.
What I really want to know is the individuals that work at the NTSB, how many of them are like former Boeing, you know, Boeing employees? So many of these people in Washington are incestuous. They worked at the corporations that they're now regulating, right? And so after she made those comments in the Senate, Boeing finally relented, though, and did give her the name. So what's really going on here? What are they exactly trying to hide? Al Jazeera had the balls to go undercover at a Boeing facility and factory this week, and what they found is shocking. An Al Jazeera reporter armed himself with a hidden camera and visited a Boeing plant in South Carolina. He visited the department where the B787 Dreamliners are being assembled and built. The journalist asked the employees there whether they were ready to fly on the planes they were assembling themselves. Watch.
This is a Boeing factory in the U.S. state of South Carolina. Workers here in Charleston are assembling the company's flagship product, the 787 Dreamliner. But this footage reveals some have little faith in the plane they build.
Did you fly on one?
No.
You won't fly on one.
You won't fly in. Well, the workers went on to say that the plant workers said that the management turns a blind eye to 90% of production problems. 90%. And many of the workers are on drugs.
In another meeting, the source told us workers are often underskilled, uncaring, and in some cases on drugs.
I've seen a lot of things that should not go on at an airplane plant. People talking about doing drugs.
looking for drugs.
It's all coke and painkillers. And you can get weed here. It's a really good weed here.
They don't drug test nobody.
I know they don't.
There's people who go out there and watch go smoke one up.
Do they?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And amazingly, 15 of the workers that he talked to who are building the planes, 10 of them said they were not even ready to fly, even though these craft are considered finished. Watch this.
I want to fly one of these planes because I see the quality going down around here.
An employee captured the footage after contacting Al Jazeera to tell us he had serious concerns about what he was seeing. At his request, we changed his voice.
With all the problems reported on the 787, there's 90% that's getting swept away. Hushed up. It's an iceberg.
So we have a right to know whether where our money is going, right? Because the truth started coming out of Boeing, and that's good because we pay for what comes out of Boeing. Our American tax dollars fund Boeing. So this is not just some company out there. We provide a huge amount of revenue from the U.S. government. Boeing receives close to half of its revenue from you, the U.S. taxpayers. The U.S. government funnels at tens of billions of dollars per year. Roughly 40% of their revenue comes from you guys. And every year it goes up a percentage. Every year it goes up. This was last year's numbers, 37%.
So now we're paying them to kill us. That's nice.
Yeah. The story, though, gets even stranger. Because as the BBC first reported, a Boeing whistleblower has suddenly wound up dead. Former Boeing employee, known for raising concerns about the firm's production standards, was found dead in a U.S. Hotel parking lot. And we learned last night he was found in the truck in that hotel parking lot. His name was John Barnett. He worked for Boeing for 32 years. And then, I love this, Boeing said it was saddened to hear of Mr. Barnett's passing. We'll get, let's scroll down the article a little bit more here.
From a self-inflicted wound, they say. And look at the quotation marks.
Yeah,
self-inflicted. Even the media doesn't believe this.
Under pressure workers, he told the BBC, the under pressure workers have been deliberately fitting substandard parts to the aircraft on the production line. He also said he had uncovered serious problems with oxygen systems in the aircraft. And that at least multiple systems, one out of every four breathing masks would not work in an emergency, which is amazing. And he said that he had alerted managers to his concerns, but no action had been taken. Yeah, they didn't do anything about it. He said they were using like random parts that were substandard and plugging them onto the craft. After retiring, he went on a long-running legal action against the company and spent, a long time. At the time of his death, Mr. Barnett had been in Charleston for legal interviews linked to the case. Last week, he gave a formal deposition in which he was questioned by Boeing's lawyers before being cross-examined by his own counsel. He had been due to undergo further questioning on Saturday. When he did not appear, they started looking for him. They found him dead in his truck in the hotel car park. And then again, Boeing released a statement. We are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends.
Okay, a couple things. It's not common to have litigation go through the weekend. So that's a little bit strange. Why was he scheduled to do more depositions on Saturday?
On a Saturday. Yeah, that is weird. I mean, maybe that's just what was convenient
for
them.
Because he was in town or something. That's weird in and of itself. Also, who takes on this amount of litigation and this large of company and then decides, as soon as the entire planet says, oh, you're right, this guy's got something, everyone's on your side, and he's like, good, my work here's done, I'm done here.
I'm just going to kill myself in a car park.
Right.
And who knows, right? I mean, who knows his motive, if that's actually what happened? Well, no one knows, right, when someone's in that kind of state of mind. But here he spent a long time working on this to try to protect people. He recently spoke to TMZ. Listen to him. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I play one on television, but does this sound like a guy that's ready to off himself? Listen.
One, this is not a 737 problem. It's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work.
Oh, I'm not for that.
So they won't even, and they're not even allowed to report it. No one was doing anything about it. And he says that they deliberately fit substandard parts, such as ones that were in the scrap bins, to the aircrafts in order to hurry up the production. And as the quality manufacturers, the quality control were just basically like, yeah, go ahead, slap these things on here. This is a substandard part. It's broken. Slap it on there. Just move them along, move them along, move them along. And he told them about it. So they knew about this. And then he's dead. As Lord Bebo on X pointed out, by the way, when you're booking, here he is. But when you're booking a flight, you can actually choose to filter out the bad planes if you want them. Like on Kayak, I didn't realize this.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're booking a flight, you have the choice in a little drop-down menu, specifically on Kayak, and I think on other flight services as well. Like, you have the choice. How am I going to fly? I do not want to fly on those aircraft. Now we know of all of the problems, and we covered a litany of them today, like a tire just fell off of one. Over the past, 2 weeks, there's been, 5 or 6 different Boeing incidents in the past few weeks. And then last night during our show, a plane falls out of the sky and 50 people get thrown at the ceiling and get hurt.
Yeah.
On these aircraft. So what do you guys think? Is this guy, did this guy kill himself, or is something else going on here?
I read a Michael Crichton book with this very same plot.
Oh, was it called Airframe?
Something like that.
Yeah. It was called Airframe, I think. Right? Or
I
air
will
something?
Look up the solution.
Is that what it was?
Which
Phil?
One was it?
Airframe.
Oh, I don't know. I was just going to say, I think anytime a convenient suicide is way too convenient, I don't quite buy into it.
You call
it's
foul.
Just way too convenient.
He got Clintoned. He got Clintoned or he got Epsteined. Something's going on here. Here's a super chat in our chat here. P. Walker says, yeah, they slap in substandard parts, and when it fails, investigators will blame the airline for failing maintenance, not Boeing. They'll blame the airlines for failing maintenance, not Boeing.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Huh.
Yeah. Because we've seen how United has taken the fall, Spirit Airlines, right? But I think you need to be an industry expert to know how they should work together.
Right.
Which we're not.
No. We've got more news to get to here, though, on your Tuesday. Let us know in the comments what you guys think about all of that. We're going to talk about Iran next and this new report from the United States government on the threat assessment for the United States. And
the threat is we are a threat to ourselves because we keep stirring stuff up with the wrong people.
Don't give it away.
That's...
Yeah. We're going to tell you what's in this U.S. threat assessment, and it's stunning. But not surprising. In fact, I think if you've been watching for our show for any length of time here at Redacted, if you're a subscriber, we hope that you're a subscriber, by the way, then a lot of these things we've been calling out as BS, and they showed up in this new threat assessment from the U.S. Intel community. It's kind of stunning, actually. Yes, please subscribe to our channel, whether you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble, on X. Please subscribe. It's totally free to subscribe, and we really appreciate it. Also, one way that really helps us push us further out into the algorithm, specifically on YouTube, is to hit the like button. I know it sounds like a small, stupid thing, but actually, it'll be stunning. You'll watch it. You guys press that like button. We have about 10,000 of you watching right now on YouTube because they took our stream down earlier. If you hit the like button, you're going to notice that we're going to have a few thousand more people join us here. So please do that if you care about the show and you want to spread it. That's how it gets pushed out further into the algorithm there. So,
all right. Before we move on, number one, I want to say hello to my mom's friend, Keith. She's been asking me to do that.
Hi,
hello, Keith.
Hello, Keith.
Thank you for watching the show. It's been a long time. Number two, we want to tell you about our friends over at Genucel, because whether you have 3 minutes in the morning or 30, keep your friends looking younger and wrinkle-free with Gen 90. That's the new instant wrinkle cream, a wrinkle treatment from Genucel. Gen 90 instantly reduces the appearance of wrinkles anywhere you use it, around the eyes, the forehead, the crow's feet, laugh lines, even your chin, and it starts in seconds. Never worry about your skin or confidence again. Gen 90 technology is luxurious, paraben-free, silky smooth, and best of all, it starts working in seconds. There's a reason why Janucel has 400% the customer loyalty of other skincare brands. And now you can get the Janucel XV, the collagen builder moisturizer with vitamin C and hyaluronic acid in a pure natural base for stunning results day after day. So they're safer than harsh procedures overseas that cost thousands of dollars. It's worth just investing in a good skincare. Keep yourself looking fresh. So right now, head on over to Janucel.com/redacted. Get a free spa box with two luxury skincare essentials plus free shipping. Once again, that's Janucel.com/redacted. Janucel.com/redacted.
So Kobo63 on Rumble says, Clayton, the stream on YouTube is down.
Is it again?
No, it's up. I think you might have been clicking on the old stream, but the original stream that we started, YouTube took that one down. But we're back up and running on YouTube right now. So we are live on YouTube right now. So yes, we're good to go. And on X as well. So who knows? We do what we can. We have to deal with these platforms. All right. Well, a bombshell new U.S. intelligence report out this morning makes some stunning admissions about Iran and Israel, and it opens up some big questions as to why the U.S. is meddling in the Middle East. Now, the report shows that Iran had no idea that Hamas was attacking Israel on October 7th. That's what the report says. And that Iran is not actually making nuclear bombs. Again, this is from the CIA, NSA, FBI, all confirming this part of the annual threat assessment report. They come together and they provide this. The report also shows that the U.S. knows that supporting Israel will make us less safe in the United States, and it will cost American lives. Here you go, Mr. President. Here's the report on your desk this morning. It shows that Iran didn't know anything about October 7th, and I know you're planning on bombing them. It also is going to kill Americans. Have a good day. Now, what do you do with it, Mr. Biden? Do you do a State of the Union address where you then double down on going to war with Iran? Of course you do. That's probably what you do. So why are we doing all of this? Why are we meddling in the Middle East? Why are we throwing so much money and weapons and putting warships in the Red Sea and in the Middle East when it's absolutely not in our best interest?
Right. War is a virtuous circle. You put it out there, it comes right back. It's a boomerang. So let's take a look at it. This is the annual threat assessment from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. Our own security acknowledged this about Netanyahu, that he's a dangerous leader who could be the death of us all. They say his visibility as leader, as well as his governing coalition of far-right and ultra-Orthodox parties that pursued hardline policies on Palestinian and security issues, may be in jeopardy. You think? Distrust of Netanyahu's ability to rule has deepened and broadened across the public from its already high levels before the war, and we expect large protests demanding his resignation and new elections. A different, more moderate government is a possibility.
So Netanyahu can't be trusted, and he's about to be thrown out.
He's an extremist. He's dangerous.
This is from the U.S. intel community.
What is his hardline policies they're talking about? Well, his hardline is never will we allow the Palestinians to have a state, period. That's what they mean, hardline. So how do these people exist? Either dead, that's how they exist, or in a continued state of oppression. That's
or
the hard...
ethnically cleansed completely out of Palestine into Egypt, into Syria, into tent camps and so forth.
Oh, okay. Dispersed.
Dispersed,
right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how does it happen that this is the U.S. intelligence agencies writing this? How is it that doesn't trickle down then into maybe stop sending weapons to this person?
Great question.
Like, it seems to me that's a no-brainer. Like, hey, we think this guy's a really, really dangerous guy. Maybe stop sending him weapons.
Right. Our intelligence agencies are telling us that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction, right? So we need to go. So maybe they're getting it totally wrong. Who knows? But, right, like, we use this all the time as a reason, as a catalyst for these things, because we don't have access to it, right? We don't get to see it often, but here we actually literally have this threat assessment. Jody Brown in the chat says, I heard a little half second clip of this on our local news this morning and thought to myself, this will get silenced immediately. Thanks for covering this. Thanks for covering this, redacted. Bravo. Thank you, Jody. But yeah, so this is why they don't want you to know about it. They love war. They want us to go to war.
Well, think about it, because the reason we go after Iran so much is because we say they support terrorists, therefore they cannot have nuclear weapons. But this is basically saying that Netanyahu is a dangerous extremist. He can have some nukes, though. It's okay. He gets a few strawberries. Now, the report also says that Hezbollah is calibrating on how to respond. That's a direct quote, calibrating. So they're figuring it out. Now, Hezbollah, I'd like to remind you, was formed with the sole purpose of liberating Muslims from the oppression of Israel, and more specifically was a response to Israel invading Lebanon in 1982. That is why they call them anti-Semitic. It is not an anti-Semitic organization. It is an anti-Zionist organization completely, although they do hold all Jewish citizens, all Israeli citizens and Jewish people accountable for the Zionist government, which is clearly problematic, right? You can't say that collective punishment is wrong if it is okay for the Jews. It has to be, you can't say Palestinians don't deserve collective punishment for their government if you believe Jewish people do. You can't have it both ways. So I'm not defending Hezbollah here, right? I'm reminding you that they're, how do you say this, Rasan Ditch? Like your
raison d'être?
Yeah. Your reason for being
right
is to end the oppression of Muslims from the Zionist government. Nevertheless, Hezbollah, according to this report, will collaborate with Iran to stop Israel from the attack on Gaza. And since they know that they would not win an all-out war against Israel, what will they do? Attack Americans, according to this report. They're saying in Iraq, In Iraq, Iranian-aligned militias almost certainly will continue attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq and Syria.
So you can either look at this, you could look at this one way, is like, get the F out of there now. You know that they're going to attack and kill American soldiers. Why are you there in these illegal bases? Iraq doesn't want us there. I thought we left Iraq. No, no, we've added another base recently. So they're going to be attacked and they're going to be killed. American soldiers are going to be, just like they were in Yemen. Again, this is going to continue to happen, and President Biden knows it. So you can use this and say, get them out now, if you're a smart leader, or you can keep them out there like lambs to the slaughter. Just put those men out there, and so they'll get killed.
Right. So what we're saying is this makes us dangerous by supporting this extremist government, because then they want to attack us for our alignment. So you could say, let's break ties and make our guys safer, mind our own business. Or you could just write it down on a piece of paper and do nothing. That seems to be the way we're going. Now, according to Hezbollah, Iran is the best example we've got that of an Islamic state. That's why they are aligned in their position against Israel and the United States. But the United States uses this to say that's why Iran is dangerous, because they support terrorists. Well, the U.S. is supporting Israel's terror on Gaza, but we have nukes. So that's a bad faith argument. Doesn't hold any water. Nevertheless, they sell us this idea that we have to be at war with Iran because they could have nuclear weapons, even though our current assessment is they do not. Take a look at this. It says Iran is not currently undertaking the key nuclear weapons development activities necessary to produce a testable nuclear device. Since 2020, however, Tehran has stated that it is no longer constrained by any of the nuclear armaments treaty limits, and Iran has greatly expanded its nuclear program, reduced IAEA monitoring, and undertaken activities that better position it to produce a nuclear device if it chooses to do so. Therefore, we conclude Iran probably, you see how I highlighted that for you? Because the word probably is doing some heavy lifting here, in that they think that they could probably, possibly, maybe. Only the fact that they're saying that Iran has not been cooperating with the IAEA, well, that's not what the IAEA said themselves. Here, I want to bring you this clip from the head of the IAEA, that's the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, who was there last March of 2023 and said, Iran's cooperating. We're good. We're not mad at them at all.
Have, for example, the enrichment activities up to 60% been in detail, technical detail, or have you been discussing this with the heads of state you have been meeting regarding that it is hardly to explain an enrichment program to this extent with a non-military enrichment program? Have they been able to give you an explanation for that?
Well, in fact, they don't need to give me an explanation of why they enrich at 60%. What we need to ensure is that we have the necessary ability to inspect the activities there. They enriched at the levels that they declare. There are certain parameters, as you know, between an inspected state and the IAEA. They tell us this is what we are going to do, and then we perform the necessary inspections. So in that regard, in terms of motivations and reasons, which I believe is a little bit behind your question, we don't discuss that. For us, what is important, the only thing that matters is that we are able to inspect, that we are able to account for every gram of enriched material that is there. And this is the spirit of the exchanges. And we have been working satisfactorily in that regard. There have been other types of issues, and as you know, but they are not directly related to this particular issue.
Okay. So the IAEA says we're actually pretty good on monitoring Iran and their nuclear enrichment. So why does U.S. intelligence said that they have reduced IAEA monitoring? Do they know something they're not telling us? Or are they putting words in the IAEA's mouth, which is what the Senate bill that was passed, saying that it is now the Senate's resolution to be against Iran's nuclear armament? They also said the IAEA was pissed with Iran, which the IAEA has said they are not. So they're lying. They're making it up. They assume that we just won't rewind the tape. We did here on Redacted. So I'm just wondering, where is that inconsistency? In fact, we've never had solid proof of Iran having nuclear weapons, yet we were super happy to tank their economy during the Obama administration with sanctions. That was the whole point of this super evil book called The Art of Sanctions. This book is horrid because the author tries to make his case that the sanctions against Iran during the Obama years worked better than the Iraq sanctions because he did it better because he worked for the State Department and because Saddam Hussein was such a crazy person that was beyond the pain of sanctions. Now, leave out for a second that Saddam was a CIA asset and there were no weapons of mass destruction. The fact that the U.S. also launched the world's first government-led cyber attack against Iran's centrifuges with Israel may be the explanation for why we think those sanctions worked. Or it could be because it hasn't been proven yet that Iran has nuclear weapons. Thus, you see the word probably again. I don't know. What do you think? Also, Iran never retaliated for Stuxnet. But here is what we high-fived ourselves for doing to them. Look, when our sanctions started is in about 2011, and boom, their GDP starts to shrink. Shrink, shrink, shrink. The result, the author says, by most measures, a tremendous success. Iran's economy went from GDP growth of 3% to a 6.6% contraction between 2011 and 2012, and Iranian unemployment and inflation remained in the double digits. We're happy that we caused those people pain, people who were out of work, people who couldn't feed their families, people who couldn't get medicines. Awesome, right? We're so happy we did that. Now, why should we care? Well, Iranians are humans. We should care if other humans are not allowed to live in a thriving society. Also, it inspires terrorist attacks against us because we're also putting our troops at risk. The report reads like an admission that the U.S. is acting against its own interest in supporting Israel and fostering more conflict with neighboring countries. And yet that is what is happening.
And yeah, this isn't new information at all. As John Mearsheimer writes in his great book called The Israel Lobby, it's a really fascinating read. He writes that the U.S. government documents reveal a keen awareness that supporting Israel hurts America's interests. And he pulls from multiple sources, both within the Pentagon and the State Department and at the United Nations. And frankly, it puts all Americans in danger. But the Israel Lobby in Washington keeps the pressure on Iran at all costs. So the Israel Lobby, of course, runs Washington, D.C., and runs Congress, as you know, and basically has Congress doing the bidding of Israel no matter what. Of course, Israel wants Iran off the map and wants them gone. They remember we played you the sound bites, of course, of Benjamin Netanyahu in front of Congress, telling Congress that Saddam Hussein needs to be taken care of. And then we did the bidding of that. We did the same in Libya. They want Iran. Iran is the third on their list. So here's what John Mearsheimer writes. He says, American policy toward Iran has been heavily influenced by the wishes of successful, successive Israeli governments. Tehran has made several attempts in recent years to improve relations with Washington and settle outstanding differences, but Israel and its American supporters have been able to stymie any detente between Iran and the United States and to keep the two countries far apart. American policy towards Iran, of course, has always been heavily influenced in this way by them. So they absolutely don't want us tied to Iran or supportive or helpful in any kind of way. He goes on to write, quote, "This unequivocal support for Israel undermined the pro-American government in Beirut, strengthened Hezbollah, and drove Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah closer together. Results that were hardly good for either Washington or Jerusalem." And then he says, finally, "The Israeli lobby has successfully convinced many Americans that American and Israeli interests are essentially identical. In fact, they are not." In this book, he really paints the picture that, of course, you'll have Netanyahu get up in front of Congress with President Biden and tell all of the Americas, you know, tell everyone in America that this is your war, too, he said, right? He told us all that what's happening right now is our war. It's an attack on American democracy, okay? Our meddling there, and this intelligence report shows us that our meddling there, in fact, does make it our business because it will hurt America. So here's an idea. Maybe we leave. We get out of there. We pull Americans out of harm's way. The Israel lobby has, you know, successfully convinced many Americans that American and Israeli interests are essentially identical, he says. In fact, they are not. So neocons in Congress, though, have been pushing us towards a war with Iran, and they've been lying to the American people. You know, Senator Mike McCaul immediately jumped into action. Like, he was all over this, like stink on a monkey on October 7th, right? As soon as this happened, he was like, you know what? I'm preemptively going to give President Biden the ability to go to war. Like, that's what we do in Congress. I'm just going to write a paper and give him powers to go to war with Iran just because I feel like it. And he was on all the talk shows. Watch.
Remember, Iran has financed Hamas. They gave, you know, $150 million to them just last year. They give them the rockets that they fire into Israel. And the idea that they're not complicit with this or have fingerprints is absolutely insane.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, what about your own intelligence report that just came out? It says the opposite of that. Mike McCaul, he says that, you know, Iran is certain to blame as it relates to October 7th, despite, again, what the threat assessment report says.
This is the nightmare scenario we've always been worried about. Israel, there's no question they're going to go into Gaza. It's their 9/11. They want justice. They're going to go in and take out Hamas, which is like ISIS. You know, I went to that kibbutz where they killed all the little children there and decapitated them. It's going to happen. So then what is Iran going to do? Are they just going to help their proxies like Hezbollah and others? Or are they going to get directly involved in this conflict? Either way, Maria, you know, my committee is charged with war and peace. My committee has the power to declare war or issue an authorized use of military force. We don't want to do that. But if this escalates, that's what worries me the most.
Tell me what you're referring to. Are you saying that the United States will have to get involved?
Well, if we want to stop, say, Israel from obliterating Iran, yes. And that would be a question for the American people. Do we want to get involved to defend Israel? Right now, we're just providing weapons and training. We're not involved. We're not firing our missiles from our destroyer ships in the Mediterranean. But the minute that happens, it does trigger the War Powers Act. And so that's why we have to be so careful here and pray that it does not escalate to that level, because what would follow after that would be very bloody.
Yeah, which is exactly
what you want. It sounds like you expect.
Which is exactly what you want, by the way.
Well, sir, I have a new report to show you that shows that literally the sentence, I forgot to bring the screenshot, Iran did not know about October 7th in advance.
So Barna Basic in our Rumble chat says the intelligence report is bullshit.
But so, why would we admit things that we're trying to sell?
So this is what I'm curious that this is. And you might be totally right.
Some of it is bullshit. Sure.
Yeah. And I would love to know more about this. But I mean, what exactly... What do we get if we get, what do we get if we leave and we stop meddling in this area?
Right.
We protect Americans from not getting attacked. We can bring our own interests back home and reinvest it in the United States. We can defend our own southern border where we don't have any military, but we certainly have them in Iraq in military bases. Lindsey Graham, you know, he's so certain about this.
I want to hear what Philip had to say before we go on to...
The thing that Mike McCall said, which is something that just really infuriates me. And it's this idea. He said, all we're doing is sending them weapons.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's just like, oh, that's all we're doing.
And training.
If two people get in a fist fight and I walk up and hand one of them a knife, I'm kind of responsible when one of them gets stabbed. Am I not? Because it's like, you're escalating it, whether you're involved in it or not.
Yeah.
Like, stop sending the damn weapons.
It's exactly what we're doing in Ukraine. Right. So we are complicit. We are complicit in the deaths of 500,000 Ukrainians right now by giving them these weapons. Lindsey Graham, though, he absolutely wants this to happen. He's a warmonger and neocon as well. He wants Iran. He's wanted Iran wiped off the map for a long time.
I've been saying for 6 months now, hit Iran. They have oil fields out in the open. They have the Revolutionary Guard headquarters you can see from space. Blow it off the map.
Yeah. Yeah, so wipe them off the map, Lindsey.
The warmth of that guy. He really seems like he loves humanity and other people.
So, guys, you know, remember this report when your neocon friends start spouting off about how we have to go to war with Iran and how we need to funnel billions of dollars to Israel? It's not in America's interest at all. And if you don't even care about the report, just read John Mearsheimer's reports on it, that you have the U.S. government admitting openly, multiple diplomats over the years and in Pentagon's own assessments and documents, that it's not in America's interest. And Americans, again, at the heart of all of this discussion is, what benefit is it for America to be meddling and causing these wars in the Middle East? Mm-hmm. That's all I care about here. I want to know, what is it? How is it in America's interest to do this? So, here's another thing. It's always smart to do the opposite of what Lindsey Graham says.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good thing, like a lesson for life. Pretty. Like, if Lindsey Graham is doing something one way, just do the opposite.
Okay.
Just do the opposite.
Well, and I want to point out, too, if we weren't doing all this overseas, that debt clock behind you might actually slow down.
Yeah, that's a great point. $34 trillion in debt. When we started this debt clock just a few months ago, it was at $33 trillion. Now it's almost half. Now it's almost up to $35
trillion.
Well,
like Bank of America said last week, it jumps by a full trillion every 100 days.
At this, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, let us know your thoughts on this.
I just want to let you know a little point of housekeeping, that we did link to this full report, the original source, in the newsletter today, because we try so hard to make sure that you have links to original sources. I also have downloaded it because I don't trust any links anymore and I keep my own notes. But if you'd like to read it for yourself, go ahead and check out Redacted Newsletter. If you did not get it, seek it out or try and get today's redacted.inc, because... sometimes I notice that maybe a link goes missing from the newsletter and we didn't link you to an original source, and then I get upset with myself. But I really, really, really try hard that you have not just CNN's coverage of something, but the report. So find it there at redacted.inc.
All right, we've got more news to get to on your Tuesday. We're going to look at this trafficking of illegal immigrant children through a foster care network that has just been exposed by the team at Muckraker. Anthony Rubin is going to join us to talk about this. They followed vans in the dark of night, he was saying, and it's unbelievable stuff. Like, they're flying these children into the United States airports, putting them in vans, and then driving them to foster care homes around the United States. Who's paying for that? Do you know anything about this? Well, you're about to. We're going to talk to Anthony here in a moment. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because you find yourself with a substantial amount of cash that's currently sitting idle, not generating returns. Maybe you have it sitting in a savings account, which is making 0.0001%. The other day, I was so mad. I was looking at a savings account we have. I was just telling you earlier today, this account has like a 0.001% APY. And I'm like, we've got to move this money over. This is ridiculous. And so we're going to do that transfer. But anyway, Moomoo right now has an 8.1% APY for your parked money. So just treat it like a savings account. So you open a brand new account, you get their baseline 5.1%. And then they're giving right now a limited time 3% for your uninvested cash. And you don't have to invest it. You can open the account and just park your money there like a savings account in their cash sweep account. And then if you want to invest in some commodities like I do, buy, you know, different minerals companies if you want, whether it's lithium or uranium or oil or gas, whatever you want to do, you can do that right inside of Moomoo. It's a trading app. But while your cash is sitting there, it's earning 8.1% when you open a new account. They have zero commission trades, no platform fees for stocks, options, ETFs. It's packed with powerful market analysis features that you would normally pay for on other platforms, but Moomoo gives it to you all for free. Yes, financial data, analyst ratings, everything. Earnings calendar, all for free. So, and the 6.8% margin rate is one of the lowest I've seen. You can tap into pro-level tools and information, all absolutely free. Sign up right now using our link. Go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. Grab up to 15 free stocks. Park your idle funds on Moomoo for a sweet 5.1% APY, plus that additional 3% APY right now, or earn up to $5,000 in cash rewards when you transfer assets to Moomoo. Once again, redacted.inc/Moomoo. Well, as we follow the illegal sex trafficking and trafficking of illegals across the United States being paid for by you, the taxpayers, what about the foster care system? Well, our next guest, Anthony Rubin from Muckraker.com, has uncovered an illegal network of trafficking paid for millions of dollars by you, the taxpayers, funneling illegal immigrants and sex trafficking through the foster care system in the United States. This story is mind-blowing. And Anthony, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on again. I appreciate it.
So just set the stage here. What is happening?
Sure. So basically what we found, what we uncovered, were basically government contractors who are moving kids across the country and delivering them to foster homes. More specifically, we actually did a stakeout at LaGuardia Airport. And, you know, we would just wait for flights to come in from Texas. And then every day you'll see this happening. You'll just see groups coming in with kids. I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7 kids, somewhere around there. Some very young, some, you know, older minors, maybe 16 or 17. The ages vary. They load them up into black vans and they deliver them to different homes across the state of New York. And, you know, we actually followed some of these vans and saw the places that they're being dropped off at, and then did research on these different places. And, you know, you see that there are, these places are facing ongoing cases, serious sexual assault charges being levied against them. And they're also receiving, at the same time, tens of millions of dollars in federal funding. And so we expose all that in the video and, of course, confront the people that are delivering the kids.
What do they say to you when you confronted them?
It's always the most shady possible response that you can imagine. You know, let's say if I was doing that, which I would never be doing that, but if for some reason I was doing that and somebody was putting a camera in my face, I would at least be like, hey, listen, you know, I can't talk to you, but here's who I work for. Go talk to my manager. But I can assure you that, you know, I have nothing to do with, you know, any harm that to these kids, right? We're moving them. They're going to be safe somewhere. But you don't get any of that. Get the camera out of my face. You don't have my permission to film. They hide their name badge. You know, they take the camera and shove it away like you'll see in the video. It's those types of responses, which, and you'll see they look very nervous a lot of the times, extremely nervous. And, you know, to me, that it's just an indicator that they know that something is not right.
Let's play a few seconds here of some of this investigation when you confront these individuals. Take a look.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, no. Not do that, please.
Yeah, don't touch me.
Get the fuck out of here.
Don't touch me, dude.
Can you go?
Don't touch me.
Can you go? You're asked to leave.
Don't touch me,
no,
dude.
No, nobody's touching you.
All right.
Go.
All right. All right.
Goodbye.
Whoa, whoa,
goodbye.
Whoa. Don't get
goodbye.
In my face.
Goodbye.
Why are you getting in my face?
Goodbye.
Why are you getting in my face?
Goodbye, bro. Goodbye.
Why are you getting in my face?
To do here. Goodbye, bro.
What's the name of this place?
None of your business. Goodbye. Have a blessed day, bro.
I'll have a blessed day. That's
come
fine.
Here looking for problems. It's not good.
I don't want any problems. The so Children's why? Village? Okay. Well, what is this place?
Like
I'm acting. I'm asking you, where are these kids going?
Have a blessed day.
Where are these kids going?
Have a blessed day, bro.
Where are these kids going?
Have a blessed day, bro.
Yeah, they're not very excited to see you. And do we know who they're working for? I mean, they're covering name badges. Do we know? You said they're being picked up at the airport and being transported. What agency is doing this? Are they working for the foster homes themselves?
No, so I know the agencies that do this. I can't speak, you know, specifically to what agency those people in the video might have worked for, but the big names are Southwest Key and MVM, names that I know you're familiar with at this point. These are, you know, contractors that are receiving hundreds of millions of dollars in federal funding. And, you know, we actually witnessed a couple of things. So we witnessed them taking these kids and loading them onto black vans and then, you know, delivering them to foster homes. But what we also saw was handoffs of these kids to so-called sponsors right there at baggage claim, which people have talked about that happening before, but nobody's actually ever caught that in video. We caught that in video. There's a little clip in there that people will see. But yeah, I mean, that's what you see happening at, you know, major international airports like LaGuardia or JFK.
Well, we know this is happening at Denver International Airport. I witnessed it myself. I didn't actually see a handoff of any individuals, but the signage is all around the baggage claim there, of course. And you know, they're putting those signs there saying, be aware of child trafficking, et cetera, et cetera. But they're allowing it to happen. I mean, it's all right on camera. I mean, imagine if I was to drive up there with explosives, they'd be all over me in a second. But they know exactly that these kids are being ferreted through these airports. I mean, it's happening on the government's watch, is it not?
100%. 100%. I mean, the contractors that are delivering them are funded by federal taxpayer dollars, and then as are the foster homes that they're being delivered to, you know, as are, you know, the Border Patrol agents who are essentially escorting these people, these kids, these trafficked kids across the border into the United States. The entire thing is funded by U.S. taxpayers. And, you know, actually, airport personnel, maybe the higher ups might have an understanding of what's going on. The low level people, I'm not even sure that they realize what's happening. Like the people who just work in baggage claim, I genuinely am not sure that they realize that, you know, a lot of times they're witnessing trafficked kids that are coming through that might be handed off to a sex predator right there at baggage claim. I'm not sure that they know, to be totally honest with you.
I mean, I would love to hear, I mean, if there's anybody that works, I know we have, whenever time I go to the airport, I see a lot of viewers. So, and folks that work in TSA and others who will say hi to us here, and they're on the level. They're on the level. So if and any of you are watching right now, you work in baggage claim at any of these international airports in the United States, any of the major airports, drop me an email, drop Anthony an email. I would love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear what you're being told internally at the airport. You know, look away, not pay attention to this, because if I don't know, and Anthony, if you and I worked at the airport, like I'm a pretty observant person, I think you are too, and I, you know, there's a lot of downtime at the airport. You're just sitting there chewing on a pen while you're waiting for the next flights to come in. You're going to see what's going on. You're going to be aware that these children are being handed off to individuals that they didn't come with. You're going to notice all of this happening. I can't imagine that you wouldn't be aware of this.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. But, you know, for example, I talked to, you know, these, I guess, quote unquote, it's not really a big crime, but, you know, these quote unquote illegal or I guess unlicensed taxi drivers that hang out there in baggage claim, right? And they try to get people to come and drive them in their unlicensed taxis. And, you know, I was talking to these guys and they, I mean, these are people that are not working at the airport, right? So they have no reason to try to cover up something. And they told me that they see kids coming through. I described to them what I'm looking for because I was, you know, when I first got there, I wasn't sure if I was going to see what I was looking for, but I described what I was looking for. Kids wearing backpacks, all the same shoes. And they're like, oh yeah, we see that every day. Then they were asking me, like, what is that? Like, we don't really know what we're looking at. We see it happening all the time, but we're not really too sure what it is. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if you have airport personnel that don't know what's going on, because unless you understand what you're looking at, it could be happening right under your nose. You just won't have a clue.
I mean, and I like to be on your side on this. You know, I really hope that it's just naivete. They just don't know, right? This is such a shocking subject for most people, and I think people compartmentalize. This can't be happening in front of me, right? Children can't be sex trafficked right here in front of me. I'm going on my lunch break. You know, really? Is that happening? So I'm on with you on that. I hope that it's just naivete and they're just not made aware of it. Let's talk about these foster homes, though, Anthony. I mean, how do you, I don't know if you know this, but how do you open a foster home? Like, how do you get accreditation to become a foster home and a destination where the government then, or these groups, these private contractors would be ferreting these children to? Don't you have to pass some sort of rigorous regulations with the government in order to be open in the first place?
To be honest with you, I don't know what that process is like, but what I will say is if I was a person who, you know, was simply driven by capital and didn't really have any morals behind it, it's my assumption that it's probably a very lucrative business to get one of these contracts and be hosting these kids at the foster home. I mean, I don't know what the profit margins are, but I can only imagine that it's got to be pretty lucrative. And the reason why I'm saying that is, you know, I'm comparing that to, for example, the cost per head at some of these illegal alien hotels. That's what we talked about last time, you know, where it's costing like $500 to $800 a night per head, right, at these hotels. So I can only imagine the kind of profit margins that are being made off of these trafficked kids. And so, you know, you could only imagine that people must be dying. These foster homeowners must be dying to get these contracts.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And so they're just dropping these kids off. What about the accountability? You followed these vans. You followed them dropping them off. Is there any sort of follow-up, check-in, find out how these children are doing? And do we know where they're coming from? They're just coming from any country, 43 different countries around the world, being brought in, paid for flights right into the United States, and then taxi driven in these vans right to a foster home. It's fully orchestrated. It's just mind blowing to me.
Right. Well, we do know that for the kids that are dropped off at sponsors, you know, parent or guardian or child trafficker or sex trafficker, that there is a 30-day quote unquote wellness check, right? Where they just dial a number, the number of the so-called sponsor, and they see if they pick up. And then, you know, that's where that one, the 85,000 number comes from, because 85,000 of those phone calls have gone unanswered. But as far as these foster homes go, I'm not sure what the checkup process is there, if at all. But what I will say is this, back in 2018, we include this statistic in the video. Back in 2018, it was a bombshell report that came out that disclosed that between 2000 and 2018, 114,000 missing person cases, and they were all foster children. So 114,000 missing foster children just had their cases closed without the children ever being found. 114,000 over the course of 18 years. That's 17 foster kids per day just going missing. You don't know what's happening to them. You can even believe that. It's kind of like, right? Like, it's kind of unfathomable.
No, get them off the books, right? Close the cases. Get them off the books so we can not have a list of missing children throughout the United States. It's unbelievable. Right. It's unbelievable. Right. And this continues right under our noses every day through these international airports in the United States. And of course, this on the heels of the story we brought you last week from the Daily Mail, the big Daily Mail bombshell report about the hundreds of thousands of illegals being flown in on direct flights and right into the United States. Right under the watchful eye of the Biden administration. Has the Biden administration commented on this story at all? Any of these foster children being ferreted around to different locations?
I think you already know the answer to that. Absolutely not. But, you know, waiting for a comment. Maybe we'll get one. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't come up during the State of the Union address. This is, you know, President Biden really is concerned about the state of the United States right now. Well, someone who is Anthony Rubin and the team over at Muckraker, who are doing just fantastic work in the dark of night, following these vans confronting these individuals. So thank you so much for this reporting. And again, we'll link it up here in the description of this show so people can go check out the full report, watch the full video, and also the write-up on it as well. Anthony, great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me on again, Clayton. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. I mean, it's amazing to me. It's like, it's amazing that they would just want to get these things off the books. Yeah. I guess it's not surprising, though, right? You just get them off the books, don't classify them that way, and then it's not a problem anymore.
Right. Right?
You just change the classification, and it's not a problem anymore.
Well, right? It's off your desk anyway. It's right. A problem for everybody, clearly.
Yeah, but it's not a problem for them anymore.
Right.
Let us know your thoughts on that, and thanks to Anthony for that. Check out, we'll have a link in the description so you can go watch the full report. All right, we've got more news to get to here on the show tonight. We're going to look at Portugal, kind of just shock the world. The country that has, you know, really leaned far left, really adopted a lot of socialist government, a lot of socialist policies over the last 20, 30 years. Are they now throwing off the shackles of socialism? We're going to look at Portugal pretty closely. They just had a big election, and Europe is like, what the hell just happened in Portugal? So we'll talk about that in a moment.
Right.
But first,
is it left? Is it center? Is it a cha-cha-cha? You don't know. We're going to see, right? First, though, we want to tell you about our friends over at the Wellness Company, because, hey, it's an election year. We do not know what's going to happen. We know some people are not going to be happy. We know that we are in for social upheaval because we have been. We were in the last election. So how can you keep yourself and your family safe in case there is any kind of upheaval where maybe you can't find anything in a store or a pharmacy? Well, the wellness company will keep you covered. They have a prescription-only kit that contains a carefully researched assortment of life-saving medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, plus a guidebook to tell you exactly how and when to use them. Every American should have at least one of these in their home. Actually, every person should, but this kit only ships inside the United States. Whether it's global conflict causing drug shortages, sanctions, because we do that to other countries and maybe we would get a taste of our own medicine. I hope not, but supply chain breakdowns, you just don't know. Ordering your kit is simple and it takes less than 2 minutes. So go to twc.health/redacted. Use our code redacted to purchase your kit with $30 off plus free shipping. And once you've paid, complete the intake form and your kit will be shipped to your door. No waiting for an expensive doctor's visit where maybe they'd refuse your request for even one of these scripts. You can get all 8 prescription medications shipped right to your door in approximately 2 weeks. So once again, go to twc.health/redacted and use redacted at checkout. That's twc.health/redacted. The country of Portugal has now joined the growing list of countries that are throwing out socialist leaders and embracing more conservative, maybe right nationalism. We're going to talk about these labels in a second. In an election this weekend, Portugal chose what they're calling center-right leaders from the Democratic Alliance, and more members of the Chega party won seats than ever before. They call them far-right. Again, we're going to discuss these labels with someone who knows better than the rest of us, Alexandre Guerreiro. He joins us today. He's a political scientist and a Portuguese. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure to join you, Natalie. I hope everyone is doing okay. So let's go.
Let's do it. Okay. So I don't like these labels and the sort of generalization of them, but can we sort of discuss in general, is it true the way the media presents it, that this is more of a center-right move in the elections this weekend?
Yes, absolutely. We have the political situation in Portugal and the political environment is actually turning right. I wouldn't say necessarily center-right, but I would say at least right, because the majority and the most important right-wing parties, they were elected and they are able to form a majority, an absolute majority at the parliament. So we can say that at least they are part of the right-wing, also because the coalition, the Aliança Democrática, the Democratic Alliance coalition, they are a group of three parties. First, the Social Democrats, which is actually curious because Portugal is the only country in Europe where social democracy and the Social Democratic Party is a right-wing party. In all other EU countries, these are social democrats. They are part of the left ideology. So Portugal is an exception on this. They are center-right party, but then they form a coalition with the right-wing conservatives of CDS and also with the monarchs, so which are also used to be known as being conservatives. Then we have Chega. And I totally disagree with the label that the media put on Chega, because Chega is not a far-right party. They are on the farthest part of the parliament, on the right part, but they are not far-right. Usually in security institutions, what we use is the label far or related with extremism, and extremism brings the idea and the notion of the resource to violent methods in order to implement an ideology. For example, we have a far-left party at the Portuguese parliament, Bloco de Esquerda, because many of their sympathizers and their followers, what they usually do, they are involved in activist groups that often they go and they use violence in order to implement their methods. For example, the eco-ambientalists, groups, whatever you want to call them, they usually use some kind of violent methods. Yes. Even the Antifas also here use violent methods against people on the street that
yes, I can give you one example. My friend, you know, we live in Portugal too. A friend of ours went to a play in Cascais, and it was a play about a transgender person, but they had cast a non-transgender actor in that role. So transgender activists assaulted my friend and her children as they were entering the play in an extremely unpleasant way. That's far right, far left, rather. And it exists here.
That's extremism. Yes, there's a difference between being a radical, where you defend and you support, okay, some bold ideas in general, political or social ideas, but at least you don't get into violent methods in order to make them be possible and become real in your country. When we speak of extremism, we usually speak of those who don't have any kind of doubts or any kind of fears of going into violence in order to implement that ideology. And that case that you just mentioned, that's part of far left. They have resource to extremist methods, like Bloco de Esquerda, which are known for that kind of methods as well. When we speak of Chega, we don't have it. They are not, for example, the Hammerskins. The Hammerskins here in Portugal, the neo-Nazis, they support a party which is known as Ergete, Rise Up. In translation, it gives this name. They have this name, Rise Up. There's where they are the extremists. Chega only have conservative people. The problem is that here politicians know that Chega was able to come to the political environment and change everything. People were used for the last 50 years to have only two parties leading the political intentions and dominating the political spectrum in the country. Now suddenly you have Chega, and you need Chega to get the majority on the right part. If you want to form a government, you need Chega support. Otherwise, the left part wing of the parliament, they will reject the possibility and the chance for the Democratic Alliance to form a government. So there's no way we can call Chega a right-wing party. They are not right-wing. They are on the rightest side of the parliament seated, but this doesn't mean that they are extremists. I just wanted to clarify this because the labels used by the media are way too dangerous. And I remember that on the night of the elections, one reporter spoke with a member of the Socialist Party, and he asked him, what do you think of today's victory from far right? This is pure journalism becoming activism. They are just trying to poison the minds of the Portuguese people in order to create any kind of bigotry from the people against these kind of parties. So I think it's way too dangerous. We must clarify all these concepts because they are not far right. They are right-wing movements, or if you want to call them, security right movements, because they support and they tend to support a harder way of using the security forces in order to provide security to the people.
Right. Well, I can't wait for your response to this. My son is an eighth grader, and his English teacher flat out told him that the Chega party is bad in an English lesson, while also paying lip service to the fact that students should read for themselves and form their own opinions and having, you know, academic freedom of thought. And then flat out just saying, this is bad. She's not a Portuguese person, but this is happening in an international school. And so obviously she is being disrupted. She's following the media narrative that they are far right and therefore bad. What's your response to that?
First, I'm shocked.
Yeah, because me too. Pissed. I'm
yes,
pissed.
At the same time as well. And you are not here supporting Chega or any other party, but...
No, I'm supporting my son's right to make his own opinion and not be led by an English teacher.
Exactly. But that's the kind of things that are becoming common in public schools, not in private schools. That's the first time. I believe it's not the only case, but that's the first time I hear such case, because usually that's happening in public schools. And I know a lot of cases in public schools when actually teachers are way too rude and way too harsh on kids in order to support that. They can't defend Chega Party. They can't defend some other right-wing movements. And I know, for example, that concerning the case of Russia against Ukraine, that there are Russian kids also feeling this kind of treatment by their teachers. Like, for example, they're saying, listen, being blackmailed by the teachers, your country is attacking innocent people. This is being done in public schools in Portugal to kids. Now, that a teacher that should be neutral, despite the opinion that teacher has, this is absolutely unacceptable in my country, because they are trying to brainwash kids in order to feel them, to make them feel rejected for support any kind of party. So, of course, kids will wish to have the acceptance of all others from the group. They don't want to be the black sheep that stands aside, supporting and liking a different thing that everyone is calling bad. So this is absolutely unacceptable. I believe that in such case, it should be made and formally made a complaint to the supervisors, to the director of the school, because the kids should be normal. But then you touched in a very sensitive point, which is Chega is bad, but listen, you have all the freedom of thought here. You should search for information. So this is an image. This reflects the image of what is Western values today. You have freedom of thought, but freedom of thought under some narrow options that we provide to you. You can only search in this and this source. You don't have a totally and complete freedom of thought. So you can only have freedom within the standards and the borders that we set out for you. So if this is freedom, then I don't want to imagine what a dictatorship is. So because people here complain, for example, that in Iran and in China, the political candidates are pre-selected by government institutions. Okay, maybe this shouldn't happen. But here, okay, we pre-select the books and the sources where you have all freedom to choose. So this is basically the same.
Right. And I suspect that people with left-leaning opinions feel more empowered to share them in these inappropriate situations, because it's right-leaning opinions that are reported disproportionately to left-leaning opinions. I know that's true in the United States. I don't know if it's true in Europe, but I suspect that it is. But I also feel like it's a slap in the face of any of those kids' parents who are Portuguese voters, who may support these for legitimate reasons, may support these parties. So can you tell me, what are the platforms that they are rejecting, these voters that voted for the Democratic Alliance and the Chega Party? What is it that they're saying no to?
Well, you just nailed, Natalie, on that point of view, because that's why we have so many surprises on elections, because polls presently, they show what people are afraid to express in regular, ordinary life situations. For example, at schools, people are rejected. People are attacked, actually attacked and bullied because of what you said. The left-wing supporters, they feel empowered, not only by the group, but also by the institutions themselves, because they feel that the government is giving them power in order to address and tackle a scourge, which is called right-wing thoughts, conservatism. All that should be tackled, should be addressed. So the institutions are unable and are unwilling to fight and to make a contrary situation out of this. Also, at work, also at universities, where usually, for example, we had some Chega events in universities here in Portugal, even before the elections, and they were simply attacked by the left-wing supporters on those institutions, on those platforms. So what does this mean? This means that schools, universities, and many working places are becoming too hostile, and with the tolerance and acceptance from the state institutions to allow all these groups to do this to all those who think on and defend right-wing values. So this is becoming dangerous. The example you set from the United States is coming here. We always import the bad examples coming from abroad, and that's one of the cases. What we are witnessing here is more harsh positions, more bold positions. We have two trenches that are becoming more and more separated from with the big abyss, and they are absolutely being fed by political institutions to fight against each other and to, in order to finally make them prevail, the left-wing values. This is becoming very, very dangerous here as well.
Okay, can you just delineate what are the left-wing values that are winning at the polls then? Is it, is it an embrace of left-wing values or a rejection of Antonio Costa's NATO alliance and green agenda? Or is it both of those things? What is it that Portuguese people want?
We can speak of both of those things. For example, left-wing values presently are only wokeism. Wokes are an equal or a synonym of left-wing values. Yeah. Everything that's considered to be transgender, quota system, anti-racist quotas. And what I mean by anti-racist quotas and values is to make the white Christian man seen as a villain of the society. He is the responsible for all the evil that's happening in the society. Even yesterday, I was at a court, and at the court, there was some kind of ad. And on that ad, the state institutions wanted to represent what's the Portuguese society. So they had a black man, then they had a woman, and then they had an older woman looking with more or less that kind of look from a transgender, so on and so forth. Where was the white man? The white man is no longer being used as a symbol of the Portuguese society. So why? Because what the left-wing parties and movements are trying to spread is not only that fight against NATO, but the problem is not only that, is the way that they are doing it. They are doing it in a very dangerous way. Even days ago, I saw a video of a pro-Palestine supporter that absolutely he danified, he made damage to a canvas in a museum. So what does this mean? Even if I support the Palestine stance, of course I support the Palestine cause, but I cannot identify myself on these kind of methods. And for example, in the election night, what they did, they actually attacked the headquarters of the Democratic Alliance with ink. Okay, they tried to throw ink to the headquarters, and one can say, oh, this makes absolutely no harm to the person. It's not that. It's the kind of pressure that they are trying to impose, and they are trying to give a political statement and making a political statement. And that's how, after that, we look at schools, at on the streets, at all institutions, and we see that all those who dare to say, I support Chega, they are always labeled. Now we have a new label, for example, for ADN, which was, for those who don't understand this, being used in Portuguese, ADN is the synonym of for DNA. So it's a kind of a game made with the words for a political party. Now, because this party got 10 times more voters than in last elections, now they are trying to say, oh, all these supporters and all these voters belong to the Christian churches. So please don't vote on them. Everyone on the right wing that are part of a right-wing party has a label in order to try to make people not to vote for them. But you know what? All these red lines that they wanted to draw in order to allow people not to vote on these parties, they are absolutely failing, because the Portuguese public stands usually in silence. But when comes the time to put the cross there on the vote, then you see the truth. And that's how you get then these results that for many are surprising, for many others are not. And I understand that what Chega means for people. They got over 1 million votes, which was very expressive. And even the Democratic Alliance, they didn't grow as much as was expectable. So which means that probably people are shifting to the Chega party. And what we see more and more is people starting to lose fear to say, I'm part of Chega, I support Chega, which is important, of course, but state institutions provide all kind of support for the wokes to impose their rules on the others.
Now we see sort of, I just want to ask you this last question, the archetype of Andre Ventura, who is the leader of Xega, being used in a juxtaposition with, say, Trump or Giorgio Meloni. Now we see the rise of Jordan Bardella in France. So are they sort of getting this archetypal treatment by the media as extremists, but really it's more of a central position and the people can see through it?
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And for example, take a look at Giorgia Meloni. Everyone was saying that, oh, she will come and she will bring the apocalypse, not only to Italy, but to Europe. And now you see that she became a person that actually she changed her position, because she was part of this group of politicians that you said, and where we can always also put Viktor Orban, Marine Le Pen, all of them, they are conservatives. Mm-hmm. But Giorgia Meloni is starting to become less and less conservative, and she's adapting to the system, to the liberal system. But all others that you said, they are just people who are not extremists. They aren't even radical, even Andre Ventura. I know Andre Ventura in person, even many years. I met Andre Ventura many years before he even created a political party. I know the person. The person isn't racist. The party isn't racist. Defend quotas and defend more security for the streets. This isn't racism. This is actually wanting and wishing to provide security and better quality of life for the people. Of course, that if you say, let's just reject some kind of people of color or people of a certain nationality, now that's racism. But this is not what Andre Ventura does. Andre Ventura is like, for example, Viktor Orban. He supports Christian values. The problem is that from the left-wing perspective, he's a fascist because he's way too far from all those ideals. So I just want people to look at the program, look at the ideas in a critical way and not follow the labels from the media.
Okay. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I do have one more little question about labels. You talked about white men representation in Portuguese documents. And I think that maybe most people think that Portuguese and Spanish are Latin and don't see them as Europeans or white Europeans, but that's what you're categorizing, right? My blood is Spanish, is part Spanish, and that is European. So when you say white men, Portuguese men consider themselves that?
No, we consider ourselves as European, Caucasian, but Latinos.
Okay.
We are part of the Latino community.
Both. Yes. Okay. Yes. I just wanted to clarify those labels. All right. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You can follow Alexandre Guerrero on X, and he always has great perspective there. Thank you so much again.
Thank you too, Natalie.
That's all for us today at Redacted. Hey, remember, we have a newsletter. Please subscribe to the newsletter because then you will have links to all the things that we talk about in the show. You can study for yourself. Subscribe at redacted.inc. It's totally free. We don't upsell you anything. It's free like this show. So do it. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. We'll see you here tomorrow, everybody, 4 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for joining us on Redacted today. Have a great day.